This morning, as we think about communion, we think about the scripture reading that we just read and the tremendous mercy that the Master had had in forgiving a huge, huge debt, and then the forgiven person going out and finding somebody who owed him basically cents on the dollar compared to what he owed and would not forgive, teaches us a great lesson about what we have before us this morning in these elements of communion. And so as we think about this, we need to keep in mind that we need to be keeping our hearts sensitive and to keep our hearts open to the Lord, always forgiving toward others and ourselves. What Jesus was saying in that parable is, if you don't forgive, don't expect to be forgiven. It's not going to happen until you in turn first forgive. So forgiveness is a big deal in our lives. It's a freeing thing. Forgiveness sets us free. Forgiveness makes us free. When we're not forgiving and we're not forgiven, we are in bondage to ourselves. We're in bondage to whoever it is that we won't forgive. And our lives are not productive for the Lord. So we need to make sure so that we're keeping our hearts in a place where we're walking in our Christian life the way that we should. And therefore, we have communion, which constantly reminds us, constantly comes up, constantly gets us back on track. It's always there to keep us in line according to Scripture. Communion keeps us from getting out of whack, keeps us from getting off track. We have all kinds of signs and signals in our world. If you're a sailor, you have harbor lights, and you have lighthouses. And I can remember reading an account one time of one of the big battleships was sailing, and it saw the light, and it says, you know, it started making communication. We are such and such a battleship, and we are this and we are that, and we have priority in this right away. We have all these seas to be cleared in front of us. We have the authority of the United States government, and you need to get out of the way. You need to move. And the light stayed right where it was. And the battleship kept saying, do you know who we are? Do you know what's going to happen to you if you don't? And a signal came back and said, we are the lighthouse. Do you know what's going to happen to you if you don't veer off course and take something else? We have lighthouses. We have active runways. And you're flying. And your pilot comes in. There's an active runway. And they look for the active runway lights. I mean, there's all kinds of lights on runways. If you've flown at night, you've seen them. You know, being in the Air Force, you see the active runways. You know where they're at. But there's lights. But they know what those lights are for the active runway. It's there for a sign to keep them on track. And so they do. And so the Lord, our Lord, well instituted communion to remind us. He reminds us of the price that was paid for our forgiveness and for our eternity. And he reminds us to stay on track and to keep following the light. He's the light. He's the light of the world. And he lit our light so that we would be the light of the world. If you turn to Matthew chapter 26, and in verse 26, we see the Lord's Supper being set up for us. He says, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take and eat, this is my body. Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them and said, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood that establishes the covenant. It is shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. And that's what he was doing. And that's what we do this morning when we take these elements in our hands. It's following the command of Jesus to remember. It reminds us, take these things. When we take the wafer, it's just reminding us of his body. When we take the juice, it's reminding us of the blood that he shed for us on the cross so that we could have forgiveness of sin. And when we come to that place of forgiveness, the first act of forgiveness that should happen in our lives when we come to Christ is that cleansing of our sin, and all of a sudden that new freedom that we have. No longer is that guilt there. No longer is that dread there. No longer is it like a cloud hanging over our heads, like, you know, we know there's something missing in our lives. I was telling in Sunday school about fellow that they had on this program called Cowboy Logic, and he was sharing his testimony and how he had a horrible past and how he had been in and out of prisons and how he had, you know, found out about he was adopted, not wanted as a kid, and on and on and on. And on it went. And he said he tried the whole gamut, like every, you know, not everybody, but a lot of people do. He went the alcohol route, the drug route. He says, but there was a cross-shaped hole in my heart. Nothing could fill. He says, until Jesus. And when he found Jesus and he gave his heart and life to him, he says, that hole was filled. My life was satisfied and filled because he was cleansed. He was purified. He was made whole. He was made new. And to see this guy, he'd scare you the way he looked. But he's a lover of Jesus. He's a follower of Jesus, and he's out there working for Jesus. Don't ever judge a book by the cover. Always look inside and see what's going on. We can't go by what we see on the outside. We don't know what Jesus has done in hearts and lives. And that's the message that we have to share, is that we need to be sharing that gospel hope with people. Doesn't matter what they look like. Doesn't matter what color they are. Doesn't matter what country they're from. We need to share with whom we can when we come in contact with them. And so when you stop and we think about what he, Jesus, went through, is a thought that encourages us when we realize what he allowed them to do to him in order to get to the cross. Son of God, he could have made thousands and thousands of greasy spots where these people once existed that were trying to hurt him, and he could have walked away, but we'd all be lost. He had to go to the cross. He had to die for our sins so that we could have eternal life. And so to maintain relationships and stay loving and kind and compassionate, Jesus went to the cross in our place. He took our place, dying for us. And so really just a couple months ago, the process began when we celebrated Christmas. It told us about how he came and he lived among us and he was here to come for a reason and for a purpose. And what was done through the love of God toward us by what Jesus did is overwhelming and really should blow our minds, no matter how many times we think about it, that he would do that for you, that he would do that for me, that he would come and have his life given so that we might live. And of course, we know that he didn't stay down. We know that when we celebrate Easter, it celebrates the resurrection, which sealed the deal. So I trust this morning, as you come to the time when you take communion, that your heart will be so full, so overwhelmed with love and gratefulness for the Lord, that you would surrender afresh your will to doing and living out his will for you. When you realize what was done, you think, how could I just try and do my own thing? Live my own life the way I want. When Jesus did this for me, I want what he wants. I want to be what he wants me to be. And I'll tell you what, when you surrender to that, whatever it is that he wants you to do is going to be the best. Wherever he wants you to go is going to be the safest place in the center of his will. And that's what we want to find, the center of his will, and to walk in it. You know, it baffles my mind when I think of everything that we have in the Lord. Everything he's done for me. Everything he's done for you. Think about it. Everything he's done for me, and yet how often I let him down. How often I let him down. Because of some act of self or disobedience or lack of commitment on my part. And I think, you know, how could I do that when he's done so much for me? And yet, he knew those things would probably happen. Therefore, he gives to us in his word, scriptures like 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin, to cleanse us and to purify us from all unrighteousness. So that when we do blow it, we don't want to blow it intentionally, thinking, oh, well, I just go out and do my own thing, live my life the way I want. I'll just come and ask for forgiveness. No, that's not the attitude. The attitude is giving it all to him. But think about what he's done for us. If you turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, there's a couple of verses there, verses 3 and 4 of 2 Peter chapter 1, where Peter writes to us and says, his divine power has given us everything required for life. Whatever you need for life, his divine power has given it to you. so that you need to now do your part. He's given us everything we need for life and for godliness. How? Through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. By these, He has given us every great and precious promise, so that through them we may share in the divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in the world because of evil desires. So we have an ability to live. We don't have to fall into the sins that are around us. He's given us His promises. But remember, when He gives us His promises are on His terms. They're